Enjoyed that very much. It has been a great blessing to be with y'all this weekend. Me and my wife have really been looking forward to this weekend. This has been, you know, I don't want to say the top one. It might have been, but I don't want to make anybody else mad that we might be going to be with them this year. But this has certainly been one of the top things we've been looking forward to. And I feel like we have received a seating abundantly above. I feel like the Lord has richly blessed our visitation and fellowship and all the prayers and the singing and the messages we've gotten to hear. And just really appreciate the invitation to come be with y'all. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn over to John chapter 13. You know, I don't know how we got into it, but a brother was talking to me this afternoon during lunch, and he asked me, he said, whenever, you know, you were blessed to see the truth, did you dilly-dally around, or did you get baptized right off? And I said, this is what happened to me. I said, Lord, touch me. I was living this wicked life. The Lord touched me. And I started reading. Well, I was living in New Orleans, Louisiana. I moved back from New Orleans, Louisiana to my hometown, Vidalia, Louisiana. I was living with my mom and dad. And the very first day of the month, I moved October 31st, 2001, November the 1st, 2001. I started reading about 50 chapters of my Bible a day. I mean, I'd never read the Bible before. I was eating it up. I was starving. I was trying to get all the knowledge about the Lord that I could get. And it was either the first Sunday or the second Sunday, because the first Sunday of November, I was there at Salem Primitive Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi, pastored by Elder Jerry Williams at the time. And it was either the first Sunday in November or the second Sunday in November. I can't remember which one. I want to be as accurate as possible. But either the first or second time I'd come to church there, they had communion and feet washing. And since I was eating so much of the scripture, since I was reading so much, by the time they got to communion and feet washing, I had already read about the Lord Jesus Christ washing his disciples' feet. And I knew I needed to be baptized and join the church, but I didn't know which one. You know, I didn't agree. I didn't know about all this predestination election stuff, you know, that you don't do nothing for salvation. God does it for you. And I'm going to tell you, the eating the bread that represents the body of Jesus Christ and them drinking the wine that represented the blood of Jesus Christ, that was really cool to me to see that, because I remember I sat in the back row while everybody else participated in communion. But I'm going to tell you the thing. The thing that just struck me in my heart, that made me realize if this is the truth, I'm not going to dilly-dally, if you will, was whenever I seen these brothers and sisters in Christ come from all walks of life, some businessmen, some mechanics, some high, some low, some 8, some 80, and they are bending down and washing each other's feet. That was one of the most impressive things that I have ever witnessed in my life. By the way, me bringing up about the 8-year-old and the 80-year-old, you know, one of the things I love about the Church of Jesus Christ, we are no respecter of persons. That 8-year-old member's vote goes just as much as that 80-year-old member's vote. Isn't that amazing? The doctor's vote in the congregation goes just as much as the janitor's vote in the congregation. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to tell you, I love the church of God. God knows what he's doing, don't he? And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I try to love like Jesus, Brother Rapp, but I don't do it. I'm a human being. I'm a sinner. I try to forgive like Jesus, but I keep messing up. I try to quit sitting in the seat of the scornful and talking about folks, but somebody will bring up somebody that I got something against, and I'll be like, Is that y'all's lot in life? You just keep trying and trying and keep messing up. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's something. There's something I can do that my Lord and Savior did. And you know that what that is? Wash the saints' feet. I can do that. I can humble myself and I can get down on my knees. And I can say, brother, I love you. Brother, if you got any ought between us, let this water wash it away. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I love everybody in here. I don't have no agendas at the church that I'm at or any church. I love God's people. And I want to tell you, we need to be like Christ. We need to forgive each other for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you look at Matthew chapter 25, I love the fact whenever he separates the sheep from the goats, whenever he looks at the sheep, all he mentions is good things. Whenever he looks at the goats, all he mentions is bad things. You know why? Because whenever he's looking at the sheep, he's looking at them through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason he doesn't mention one good thing that a goat does, because a goat can't do nothing good. And I'm going to tell you, in my marriage, I just need to look at my bride and I need to look at it through the blood of Jesus Christ. In my church life, yeah, they may have said something and they don't even know. I know they said it and it may hurt my feelings, but I'm not forgiving them for their sake. I'm forgiving them for the Lord's sake. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes for us to get along, we just got to go, blood of Christ. Hey, you might have been joking whenever you said that, and I took it to heart. The only way we can keep on keeping on, blood of Christ. My wife stepped on my toes. I stepped on her toes. It's going to hurt a lot more. Blood of Christ. Y'all get that? Blood of Christ. I'm going to tell you, it works. Amen. Sometimes I look at my wife and say, can we start over? She's like, again? She's like, I'm tired of starting over. I said, me too. But you know what? If you keep going back and back and back, brothers, I don't want justice. I want mercy. Amen. I need mercy from God. I need mercy from you. I need mercy from my wife. I need mercy from the church that I pastor. Because I get zealous sometimes, and I may say something the wrong way. This morning I said the word omnipotence, not in the Bible. Y'all see how gently and just haphazardly, Brother Mike's like, it's there. Boom. Yeah. That's charity. And I didn't get out of all my feels and be like, how dare he say it? I was wrong. I got on a hobby horse. I'm going to tell you, brother, the reason I get on a hobby horse, I can't stand it when people try to intellectualize the Holy Ghost at a worship service. I don't care if you're smart or not. I'm not saying you can't use big words, but don't trust in that for the power of God. Because I've seen ignorant people preach with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven that made me think that I was floating in the air. And I've seen intellectual people do the same thing. Paul says the reason that happens is so that our faith will be in God and not in man. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I said to myself, this is a long introduction, isn't it? I said to myself, the first time I ever witnessed foot washing, I said, I don't know if this election is right. I don't know if this predestination is right. But whenever I figure out, if it is, the next time they do this, I'm going to do it too. Because Jesus did it. If you have your Bibles with you, go me over to John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, death is one of the saddest things in the world, is it not? But I'm going to tell you, we need to remind ourselves. They departed out of this world, but they went to the Father. Every time you go to the graveside of one of God's people, yes, they departed, but they've gone on to a far better place. They are with the Father. You know, whenever we go to a funeral and we say they're in a better place, we're wrong. They're in a far better place is what the Bible says. Paul says, which is far better. Doesn't that give you, the way I like to look at it, they've gone to Hawaii and we just ain't got on the plane yet. We're going to see them one day. They're over in paradise. And Jesus, knowing that he's about to depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. Who did he love? His own. He loved them until the end. Amen. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper. I want you to put your spiritualizing glasses on just for a little bit. I don't plan on being here very long. I love what Brother Adam Green says. He says, you know what, on Saturday night service, you know, all day we've been eating meat and potatoes, and sometimes you got to cut it up. He says, sometimes on Saturday night, you just got to go up in the cupboard and get out some of that old apple pie and some ice cream and just get the sweetness. And if the Lord will bless us, just get some sweetness this evening. But please, let us look. Yes, we're looking at Jesus washing feet. Let me kind of stir your spiritual eyes up a little bit. Y'all know the first time I ever shouted was at a baptism, Brother Mike. I wasn't even doing the baptism. I wasn't even the one being baptized. But I remember it was Saturday afternoon service at an association, and the brother was being baptized. And I remember him standing up like this right there. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord blessed me in such a way to see Jesus just alive and flesh and blood. And whenever that brother went down in the water, I ain't going down all the way. Whenever that brother did this and he went up under that water, I was blessed to see Jesus laying his body down into that tomb. And whenever they brought that brother up, whenever he brought that brother up out of the water, I'm going to tell you what, I seen Jesus coming out of the tomb and going back to God. And I went, woo! Y'all know the things that God has given us to do, commanded us to do in the church, represents the work of Jesus Christ. Y'all know that? Baptism represents the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That blood and that wine, that bread and that wine, that bread represents that perfect body that God prepared Jesus as. That all of our sins, Peter says in the 24th verse of 1 Peter chapter 2, that he bore our sins in his own body. He bore our sins. That bread represents his body that was broken for us. And that wine represents his blood that purged us from every stain and sin. Whether your name was Mary or Manasseh. Amen. I'm going to tell you, feet washing represents redemption as well. Put on your glasses. Look what it says here in the fourth verse of John 13. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Brothers and sisters, y'all realize who Jesus Christ is? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Glory. He's everything, brothers and sisters. He's the King of Glory. He's the King of Glory. Whenever he prays to his Father in John 17, about verse 4 or 5, I'm going to paraphrase here. He says, Lord, restore unto me the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Brothers and sisters, if a mortal man was to see the fullness of the glory of God, y'all know what would happen to us?
for Jesus to come down here. Y'all know what he had to do? Because he's God. He had to lay down his glory. He laid it aside. But he came. He laid. I'm going to tell you, when he got up to wash feet, he laid aside his garment. For him to wash feet, he had to lay aside his garment. And I'm going to tell you, for him to come down from glory to wash us, he had to lay aside his garment. But he didn't come down here naked, did he? He didn't come down here as a vapor or a spirit. He came down here as a seed of Abraham. He came down here robed in something. He came down here girded in something. And y'all know what it was? It was flesh and blood. Look what it says here in the fourth verse. He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. I'm going to tell you, the Lord laid aside his glory, but he put on another garment. He put on flesh and blood. He was like us, but not like us, if you will. I'm going to tell you, without sin he was. Look what it says here in the fifth verse. After that he poureth water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Y'all realize what the Bible is saying here? It just said that Jesus laid aside his garment. He put on another garment. And that very same garment, that towel that he girded himself with, is the very same thing that he washed his disciples with. That's the word of God. The very same thing that Jesus Christ girded himself with, his body, his blood, is what took our sins away. I'm going to tell you, he that knew no sin became sin for us. Our sin was laid upon him. And as 1 Peter 1:18 says, we are purged, we are redeemed, we are purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He came down here in flesh and blood, and he washed us with his flesh and blood. And then look what it says. We'll skip a little bit. Let's skip down to the 12th verse. So now we have Jesus laying aside his garment, putting on another garment, and washing his disciples and wiping their feet with the very garment that he had on. And what that represents in my mind is the Lord Jesus laying aside his glory, putting on another garment, which was flesh and blood. And him, listen, I want y'all to get this. In order to wash feet, you have to go from an elevated position to a downward position. Amen? And me, because of my bad knees and my obesity, whenever I wash feet, I'm sitting on my buttocks, okay? I mean, I'm on the ground. I'm either doing that or I'm laying on my belly. I mean, that's just what I'm doing. I mean, I'm getting about as low as I can get. Somebody will have to help me get up. What I want to tell you is the Lord came from glory. Amen. He came from the highest position you could ever be. And he got on the ground. He came down here. He humbled himself. As you said, Brother Tim, he that was rich became poor. And he had to come down to this low ground of sin and sorrow to wash us. And he washed us with the same thing that he was girded with, flesh and blood. And y'all know what Jesus did after he died on the cross and after he was resurrected? What did Jesus do? Where did Jesus go back to? He went back to glory, did he not? And where do we believe that Jesus is right now? Do we believe he's standing or do we believe he's sitting? He's sitting, right? Go me over to the 12th verse. Look what it says here. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord showed me this years ago, I shouted. I said, hallelujah. Look what it says here. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again,
He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Brothers and sisters, after he washed them, he took back his original garments and he sat down. I'm going to tell you, after the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and he rose the third day, he went back to glory and got his glory back. And he is sitting at the right hand of God right now. Y'all know why? Because he finished the work. Hebrews 1 and 3, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. It says that when Jesus had by himself purged our sins, y'all know what he did? He sat down. Y'all want to know why 1 and 3 is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible? Because I like to eat crawfish. And you know what you got to do before you eat crawfish? You got to purge them. I might have used this before, but y'all know how you purge crawfish? You put them in a purging solution. And I'll tell you, I've purged thousands of pounds of crawfish. And what you do is, I take a 120-quart ice chest, I fill it with water, and then I pour about 3 pounds of salt in there, and I mix it up. That's my purging solution. And if you don't understand this, crawfish live in the mud. And if you eat an unpurged crawfish, whenever you eat it, you're going to be chewing on sand, and mud and gravel, and it's disgusting. And what you got to do in order to eat it, you got to purge it to get those impurities out. You got to purge it to get all that dirt and that grime out. And you get this white, reddish piece of meat. And what you do is you take all those live crawfish and you dump them in that ice chest and you say, do you accept this purging? It almost happened, right? You say, do you accept this purging? Is that how you do it, lady? No! I'm going to tell you, y'all distracted by that. Me too. I almost finally fell. We talking about that today. I'm like, brother Chris, I'm not going to fall. He's like, I'm just scared you're going to do it. I'm going to get over here. But what I want you to understand is, brothers and sisters, those crawfish are not active in the purging. I've never asked one single crawfish in the hundreds of thousands of crawfish that I've ever purged. I've never asked one of them, do you accept this? You know why? Because I'm the one with the authority. I'm the one with the power. I'm the one doing the purging. And I put them in there. And after they're in there, they expel the stuff I don't want them to have and they become purged. And I want to tell you, sometimes they try to crawl over the side of the ice chest. And you know what I do, Montel? I walk over there, I pick it up, and I throw it back in. Because I got more power. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord does not need our cooperation for us to get purged. Brother Danny by himself has purged hundreds of thousands of prophets. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ has by himself purged his people's sins, and he's sitting down because it's finished. And the next time you wash your brother's feet and you lay aside your coat and you put that towel on you, I want you to picture your master, your savior, your king standing in glory with all of his awe, with all of his glory, with all of his pomp and all of his show. And he just laid that aside and he robed himself in the flesh of a babe and come down here and suffer for you. And after you finish washing your feet, washing each other's feet, and you put your coat back on, and you sit down, and you sing a hymn, I want you to remember that the Lord went back to glory, got his glory, and he's sitting down for you right now.
Let's go on a little bit and we'll end. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. You know what he just said? You call me Master and Lord, and I am your Master and Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash
one another's feet. You know, I've heard debates over what ought means and everything, but I just try to end it like this. Whenever my daddy used to say, you ought to do something, there was no question in my mind whether I should do that or not. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you, if my Lord and Master tells me I ought to wash my brother's feet, you know what I ought to do? I ought to wash their feet. And he's saying, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, how much more should you? Man, the King of Glory. Isn't that beautiful? Brothers and sisters, is not him humbling himself and washing our feet, is that not a picture of him coming down from glory and getting dirty for us? And then look what it says. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Brothers and sisters, I can't force you to wash somebody's feet, but if you know you should do it, happy are you if you do it. And I'm going to tell you this too. Y'all know what it takes to forgive one another? It takes to humble yourself. You know why forgiveness is one of the hardest things to do? Because you got to put aside how you feel. You know, when Peter said, nevertheless, I'm gonna go fishing again anyway. He said, I feel tired, but nevertheless, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to tell you, forgiveness is so hard because we just want to be justified. We just want to be rectified. We just don't want to forget about it, do we? I'm going to tell you this, brothers and sisters. If we're washing the saints' feet, and we're just washing with water, not washing with our heart, not really forgiving, not really humbling ourselves, we're just splashing water on people's feet. The things that Jesus showed us just wasn't the physical. Oh, I believe it's the physical. I believe baptism, we literally should do it. I believe the communion supper, we should literally do it. And I believe that foot washing, we should literally do it. But I'm going to tell you, we should metaphorically and spiritually wash each other's feet as much as we can. We need to. The church will not survive without it. And you know what I mean, okay? The local church, okay? Don't believe, I believe the church is going to be here until Jesus comes back, okay? My good. I told you, if I preach to you, you're going to have to give me some charity. The church is going to be here until Jesus comes back. But I'm talking about the local church body. Marriages won't survive without it. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is the best example in the world of how we should live. I hope this makes sense to you. If it was too much preacher spiritualization, please give that to me and don't let that detract from anything else. I love you and God bless you. Come ahead, Brother Chris.